wait till the next series of Fringe comes up. They are really going to juice it up.
I'm interested in how much they use our stuff.
65%.
That's because there's individual people out there who do screenwriting and submit proposals.
Yes.
They're the ones who are listening by themselves and coming up with interesting scenarios. Mm. They submit it to J.J. Abrams' company. Then some of them get picked. J.J. Abrams, I'm assuming, is not listening to cash flow. He doesn't even care where these scripts are coming from.
Oh, yeah, he does a bit.
He knows that these guys are listening to our stuff.
Yes.
And they like it because we come up with such crazy stuff. It inspires them with scenarios they can work with.
Well, it's not so crazy.
No, we know it's real, but, you know, for the average, they're going to entertain people by actually taking what we say and flipping it into a dangerous technology. They're actually the opposite of us. They take our ideas and make a frightful scenario around it.
Aperture science, yeah.
They take our ideas and they make everybody scared shitless of parallel worlding.
Right.
They're actually a counter to us.
Oh, but it's great, though, because folks embrace it and they go, I want to do it like that crazy Olivia, that Dunham woman. You know, she gets ripped of new in every show, but she always makes it. She always survives. She gets thrown through windows and half dead and mostly alive and doesn't know the difference and screwing around with these dead people from other worlds that died over there and should have been dead here. And Peter coming around, been like he'd been Osaka, Japan too long, glowing from that radiation and all that kind of stuff. And she just got a very amorous for him. And he got this blithering idiot, Walter, running around, had his brain dissected and hid in all these different places so they could find his brain so he could remember what he couldn't remember that he remembered.
Okay, hold it.
He couldn't remember.
Yeah. How many writers that submit scripts or are involved with the Fringe listen to our show?
Well, now they're all in-house. If they write, it's cheaper to have them in-house so it can be controlled rather than just writing a story and submitting it because then they'd have to give them credit. So they are employed by Abrams Company.
Do they have many? 5? 10?
No, more than that. Way more than that. Because they're all working on tons of new shows and lots of different shows.
Different series, not just Fringe.
Oh, yeah. Many different series. He's got a new one coming out in the fall.
Do they sit around and listen to Cashflow together?
Yeah.
They're going to act professionally and write their stories. What do they personally think of this? They just say, wow, this is a great gold mine that they just give away for free.
It's a gold mine, and it just gets better week after week after week after week after week after week.
Would they ever approach us? Would you talk to us privately?
Maybe. Likely so. Here's the way they'll do it. They'll go to howionic.com, and they'll type in their name and information and have a Gmail account, and they'll schedule a $100 engagement with non-physical. And if you'll notice, it'll become almost like a fairy tale session of asking every strange, weird, anomalous anomaly that's ever been funk. And you go, wow, that's so interesting. That's very interesting. You'll talk to them a little bit, and then they won't want to talk to you.
They won't want to talk to me after the reading, you mean?
Right. They won't want to go for hours and hours and hours and hours. Now, they will at the first because they'll want to see if there's something else going on that you're going to give them something else that they can use to write. But they're going to be very careful with that, see, because this is copywritten material, and they know how that works. But they'll get the general gist of it, and then they can open it up and make it about whatever they want to make anything about, you see.
They'll notice in talking to me after the session that they don't really get any more from me.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to hear me talk about my chart or something, and they'll get bored of that after a while.
Mm-hmm. Or all those marvelous creations that you can't create.
Now that's August 2010. He's saying that J.J. Abrams is expanding and doing many shows, and that's true. He did many shows since 2010-11. He's a producer of a lot of shows. So I am accurate about that.
Was he Bad Robot?
Yes, that's his company.
Yeah, he was everywhere. He had his hand in a lot of projects.
Right. I mean, I forgot Ian said that back then. So That's 3.5 years ago. He's saying that, you know, Fringe went from 2008, 2009, so you're into your second season of Fringe. So by 2010, he's huge. He's a big deal because of the success of Fringe. So he's doing all these other shows. I am saying he's going to do all these shows. That's why our stuff shows up all over the place, not just in Fringe. He's got a stable of writers, and they're listening to us. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It explains why it shows up in so many different shows by 2011.
Yeah.
And I know that Abrams is a personal friend of one of the JWs. And J.J. Abrams gets to experience a lot, just to put it on the surface. Apparently, he knew J.W. since 2000. They met somehow way back. So he has an inside track to what we're doing. That's probably why he caught on to our show. One of the JWs told him about our cash flow as soon as we get on there.